Hey everybody, it's Celine
and TJ,
and we're back for another episode of TJ and Celine Nerd Out to Nerdy Things. And while we always do an intro, we are trending right now of not doing one because we are, as TJ said last time, the recording you don't ever get to listen to because we lost it. We have a lot to talk about, and in honor of what we're talking about, we'd like to give it the whole amount of time. Yes. So
however long it takes.
What are we talking about, TJ?
Well, we were talking last week about it's always been one of your favorite subjects, more recently one of my favorite subjects. We were talking about Taylor Swift.
And going through her eras.
Yes, literally going through era by era. And we were almost done.
We had like 2.5 hours recorded.
We literally did. And we had 3 different parts and only part 3 saved. And we somehow lost part 1 and 2. We don't know how it happened. It sucks that it happened. But you know what? You win some, you lose some. It is what it is.
We will re-record and do that at a certain point. But in case you're worried, you've probably seen the title of this episode. We're still talking about Taylor Swift.
Yes. Just our goal was to talk about her previous eras leading up to her current era. But
you know what they say about goals.
What?
You know what they say about goals.
They said holes.
That too.
You have to fill them?
Yep.
Any hole is a goal.
Any hole is a goal. It's directly from the song The Man.
Yep. Yeah, so we're talking about Mr. Tay-Tay Swift.
Mister?
Mister, yeah, that's what I said.
I love that.
We're talking about Travis Kelce. Man. Yeah, we're talking about Travis Kelce.
Yeah, Mr. Taylor Swift.
Miss.
Just call her Taylor.
We're going to call her Taylor. Yeah.
If you guys didn't hear, I know it's not like that widely broadcasted, but Taylor did drop a new album.
What?
I know, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to be the one to break it to you guys. So you can go listen to it now. We'll just take a minute, pause us, go listen. I'm just kidding. Are you under a rock?
Yes.
Taylor? Okay, just a quick little backstory. This album was dropping, and I started to listen to it at 11 p.m. when it dropped. And I got through a good amount of the album. And then in the morning when I woke up, I see a text from TJ saying, "Holy shit, it's a double album," in all caps. And I was like, I don't know what that means.
Like, oh, because, yeah, I was probably before you.
Yeah, yeah, you were. And I was like, I don't know what a double album means. Like, she, like, posted it twice.
Right.
So yes. I open up my music app, and I click on it, and I was like, it's still just the Tortured Poets Department. Yeah. And then you type... I went to the top and I wrote Tortured Poets double album and anthology pops up. And I was like, this bitch wrote 2 albums?
Uh-huh.
So I was like, holy shit, there are 31 songs. And what's 31? What are the numbers reversed?
13. Mm-hmm. Your favorite number.
Mm-hmm.
Oh!
There are 31 songs on the album. And I'd gotten through pretty much the whole album the night before because I'm diseased.
I was sick in the head.
I was tired. I had work the next day.
What a shame you're fucked in the head.
I am fucked in the head. So I listened to, I think I did finish the album because I remember getting to Clara Bow, but I was like delirious by the time I got to Clara Bow. So then the next day I had to go to work and I was like, well, at least I have all of work to like, get this second album in. Bitch, tell me why some of the saddest songs are on that second part. I was literally like, I'm at work. Don't cry. But yes, fortunately, the length of the albums were very doable. Like, the first album's like 65 minutes. Second album's 57 minutes. So, like, you can listen to it all. It's just a matter of, like...
I think altogether it's like 2 hours and 2 minutes or something like that. That's a long album.
Very long.
Compared to... most albums nowadays that are about 40, 45 minutes.
Yeah, no, it's a very long album. But what we planned on doing today is going through each track and talking about what we felt about it. And if we don't have a whole lot of feelings quite yet, we will touch on this again when we do our eras. So, again, there's a lot of music to digest, so we're not just we're not trying to just quick listen and produce for you guys. We're trying to listen and enjoy her music. So we'll give you opinions, and it might not be like what you want to hear us talk about, because I feel like a lot of people, when they want to hear about Taylor Swift, they want to hear about like the lore and the background. And I talked to TJ about this yesterday very briefly. I want to, and he mentioned it today also, so I think this album is a big, while it may be about like her past loves and stuff like that, I think it's more of a broader story than that. I think it's just about somebody loving people so much and not getting it back, and that's exactly what TJ said. So,
and maybe a little bit to the point where the love is a little toxic.
Yeah, and like, and maybe it's because of the other person, but maybe it's because of you too. Like, there's always that fine line, and yeah. I think she does straddle that line in the songs too. So
I agree.
Speaking of that, shall we start with the first song in the album?
Yes.
First song is Fortnite featuring Post Malone, written by Taylor Swift, Jack Antonoff, and Austin Post.
Oh, I didn't know he helped write it too. That's kind of cool. People, I guess, are always kind of surprised. I really like Post Malone. I like his more later work than when he was like a rapper.
Yeah.
But he actually has a really good singing voice.
He does.
And like he sounds live, just like how he sounds on his songs, which I think is really
rare.
Shout out
to Taylor Zepp, who's a big Post Malone fan.
Yeah.
I actually messaged her when the album was releasing, with Fortnite being the single, saying, "Our worlds are colliding."
Literally, yeah. I really had no idea what to expect.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was going to be like an upbeat song, if it was going to be a slower song. Because there was no single leading up to the album release, which is very rare.
And it still did so fucking well.
And what?
And it still did so well.
It has broken, shattered records.
She takes our advice more than Marvel does. Don't say a peep.
Literally. Don't even leak. It did end up being leaked,
which
but not by
bummer.
Her.
Which is a bummer, yeah.
I did not listen because I wanted to...
I didn't either.
Respect the artists and their work. You know, they put a lot of time and effort into making albums and...
We're not children. We can wait.
Right.
It's going to come out regardless. I don't understand the concept of not listening to her version. Her entire fight has been her version.
Right.
So it's just like, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, Fortnite, they announced it the day before. I think it was the day or two before the album actually dropped. And she said, surprise, Fortnite's the first single.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? What do you think?
I do like this song.
I do too.
It's catchy and it's like a little bit of a bop. And like, it is slower, but it's not my favorite on the album.
I enjoy it. I agree. I guess I was just, I think like anything, you're expecting more, you know, and while I enjoy the song, my biggest complaint for it is that I wish Post Malone would have been in it more.
I agree.
Because it feels like he's like in the background.
Yeah.
Like he is whispering his vocals.
Yeah.
And then he gets that one little part at the end, right before the song ends, and that's it.
Yeah, I wish he had like an active verse.
Yeah. So I enjoy the song. It's a good song. It's just, is it the strongest song on the album? I don't think so.
No.
But it is slower.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for her, because all of her like lead singles have always been...
catchy. Like fast.
Fast, catchy, and like...
But I think this is a turning point. Historically, when artists release things that are very different than what they've done, they're turning. Like, look at 1989. It's a complete change of pace. So.
For sure. I agree.
But yeah, that's Fortnite.
Anything you want to talk about, though, with Fortnite? Like,
well, there is some, like, talk about what it means, because obviously a fortnight means 2 weeks.
I was going to say, I think it means 2 weeks, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, but it also means 14, which is one number off of 13, which is Taylor's favorite number. So the idea is that this song is actually, like, marking the closing of a chapter in her life, which I think is an interesting take.
I do, too. What do you think of the music video?
So the music video is all references. The entire thing is a reference to something or another. Mm-hmm. Mostly the 1975's music videos. You can tell by the like black and white tone, which we'll get to why that is important later on. But It was good.
I love the video.
It was beautiful. I loved him with tattoos. I loved him without tattoos. He's actually quite handsome.
It was really weird seeing him without tattoos.
He's actually, like, not that tattoos make any, I mean, like, I'm the least to talk. Not, tattoos don't make people ugly, but, like, he just, they do make you look a little rugged. I will give myself that.
Yeah. Not a bad way, but.
No, like, a little gritty. Like, they're like, oh, you've lived a little. So, without his tattoos, he looks so boyish.
It's weird. He's, like, unconventionally attractive. Yeah. Which is why I think people, why he's popular is because that's, like, kind of, like, in right now is people who are different looking, like.
Foreshadowing.
True.
Yeah, and I think he's really charming.
He's supposed to, from what I've heard, supposed to be, like, the nicest person.
Yeah, I heard he's really nice. He actually really wanted to work with Taylor Swift and Beyonce, and he got to work with both in the same year.
That's true, because I forgot he was on her track. I think the music video was, the imagery is beautiful.
Her with tattoos was so cool.
That was really cool, how she had all of his tattoos.
Yeah, that was really
symbolism,
cool.
You know, yeah. That you kind of become your, you...
I love...
Become a little bit like your partner.
I love that he was the love interest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was, like, very surprised that he was, like, they were, like, kind of romantic in the video.
They had chemistry.
I was, like... Which is funny, because he has a song called Chemical, which is about chemistry. But I was, like, who knew Mr. Malone could be,
Ladies man?
Like, yeah, get it.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh.
I can never do it like you do.
Oh. but no, it was a great video. I love the Victorian era.
So her dress is just like the Grammy dress she wore.
Mm-hmm. The white one, yeah. And then she wore the Victorian, the classic Victorian
black
morning
one.
Dress.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought the video was gorgeous, though.
It was cool. I have nothing else for Fortnite. All
right.
All right. The Tortured Poets Department, written by Taylor Swift and Jack Antonoff.
I really like this song.
I really like this song, too. It's a great title track.
It's a I honestly kind of think this should have been the lead.
I agree.
Because it's got a great beat, catchy hook. It's the name of the album.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a very, I will say this album has a very 80s feel to it to me.
It's giving Stevie Nicks, which is ironic.
Yes.
Because she's not only mentioned it, but wrote a poem for this album.
Yes. Very 80s vibe, very,
I always call these kind of albums glassy because they leave you teary-eyed.
Yeah. It, you know, her album 1989 was 1980s encoded. I don't really get 80s vibes from her 1989 album.
No.
I'd get more 80s vibes from this album than 1989. I think this is a great song, and I like that it just, I don't know, it works for me.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I don't have a whole lot to say other than that I really like the song. I haven't really broken it apart or anything yet.
Yeah.
It's catchy. It's fun to listen to.
I would have thought this would have been a lead single, and then maybe Fortnite would have been the second one.
Yeah.
But I can see why she maybe did the reverse.
This might be the second single, if at all.
Yeah.
She might not do more than one single.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot to say about this one.
No, I just really like it.
Yeah, I really like it too.
I love the sound of it. The production is great, and
I agree.
It's one that I've I look forward to when it comes on.
Track number 3, My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys, written by Taylor Swift.
Oh, she just wrote that one. Okay. What do you think of this one?
I know it's a fan favorite. And I wouldn't say I dislike any songs on this albums mm-hmm. at all. I don't gravitate towards this song.
I don't either. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like,
I honestly have no strong feelings or thoughts about this song.
Right. I don't love it, but I don't dislike it. It's just an easy listening song.
Yeah.
That's the best way to describe it.
Yeah. That's all I have to say.
Same.
Track number 4, Down Bad, written by Taylor Swift and Jack Antonoff.
It's a sad song.
Fuck it, I fucking have it. This is like this at this point in listening when I, because I think up until now I was like although My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys is a sad song, it's still not like quite like as heartbreaking as I thought the album was gonna be. So when it got to Down Bad, I was like, well, it's like Homegirl's hurting, and it's catchy because it's funny because it's catchy, but it's really sad.
It is a sad song. It's, you know, I take it as a song that when everything else is going wrong and then one other thing goes wrong, you're just like, fuck it. Like, I'm just done. We
also give an homage to the fact that Taylor Swift is swearing hella.
Quite a bit on this album. I know people were pissed about it.
Like, eat shit.
Right.
Eat my ass.
Right. Has no one been listening to her last, like, five albums? They're not exactly kid-friendly.
The last four album run, Folklore, Evermore, Midnights, and this, chill. They have no chill. She's fucking angry. Okay? And also, same. If my boyfriend of 6 years wouldn't marry me, I'd be mad too. If my situationship wouldn't get his shit together and stop snorting cocaine, I'd be mad too.
Sure. And, you know, I mean, I know you're not... You're 30. 31, no. Happy birthday.
Thank
it's your
you.
Birthday today.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 35. I'll be 36 this year. And I think when you get to your mid-30s, you kind of get to a point where you start to look back on where you are in life, or where you were in life, and I don't want to say regret, but you kind of look back at what could have been, and you know, things kind of start to become a little bit more real, and you realize, oh, I'm not 20 something anymore. I am getting older, and like, yeah, I probably should have done this differently. At least for me personally, but
no, I agree.
And I think that's kind of where she's at with that this album and this song. It's you're kind of at a point where you're just like,
you're
I don't know what else I could be doing right, you know, and I'm just frustrated.
I agree. I think it's like you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Yeah,
you down know, bad.
Yeah, you know, and she's also at the age where.
Down bad also, if you guys don't know, literally translates to, like, being so obsessed with somebody that you're down bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she's also at a point, and this is just me, no confirmation, just my own opinion.
Theorizing. This whole podcast is going to be us theorizing this album.
You know, she's at a point where she's not old by any means, but in terms of wanting to have a baby, she'd be considered a geriatric pregnancy if she were to want to have kids.
Which she does, she said.
Right. And, you know, I think that has probably played a lot into this album, too, of, you know, you spent all this time with someone.
Bookmark that. Don't forget about this conversation.
Which one?
This one right now.
The baby?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and I think if that's something you really want, and you don't have it yet, you just kind of, you know, you kind of miss what you don't have, you know? I mean, it's hard. It's hard to feel that when you don't really understand the feeling and why you're feeling it, you know?
Yeah.
But it is a very good song.
Anything else?
No. Unless you have anything.
I do not. Again, I'm not trying to rush us through this. This is like a brief touch.
Yeah.
We'll come back. Don't worry. We're just going to digest.
I'm worried.
Song number 5 is So Long London, written by Taylor Swift and Aaron Dessner. Historically, Taylor has said that her song number 5s are usually very, like, emotional, vulnerable songs that come from a very personal place. And she's said this every single album. And this album's no different. And if you guys know, one of her other tracks is called London Boy, and this is a sister song to that, I would say, where she's saying goodbye to a certain Londoner that she was with for 6 years.
And probably feels like it was a waste of time.
What?
And probably feels like it was a waste of time.
I mean, she says it.
Yeah.
She says it.
You
took all this youth for free. What a line, though, bro.
Seriously.
Okay.
Sad song.
It's a very sad song. This is where it's like, it's getting pretty melancholy right when you hit this song. I don't have a whole lot to say because I think the song itself, if you listen to it, it says it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's not, like, a lot to theorize or break down. She's literally saying goodbye to a part of her life that she thought she was going to have forever.
Yeah. So. You know, I think when you spend that much time with someone and then it ends up not turning into anything, that's hard.
That'd be like if I dated Mason for as long as I dated him when we got engaged, which was 7 years.
Right.
And he, like, we never went anywhere. That's what that would be like.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you have to get, like, I'm not saying you have to get married, no. But, like, to, like, not have any stability in your thoughts about a partnership with somebody.
Well.
Him not wanting to have a baby with her.
And I don't think, you know, I think most people want to know where, if you're not married, people want to know where you're going.
I agree.
You know, and when you're together for that long, and all of a sudden you're just not together anymore, I mean.
Yeah.
You know, she processes her feelings by writing. And, you know, that's, I guess, her way of saying goodbye.
Yeah.
So, it's a sad song.
It is. Anything else?
No.
Track number 6 is But Daddy, I Love Him, written by Taylor Swift and Aaron Dessner.
First of all, love the Little Mermaid reference.
So, here is where the... I differ with the public opinion. People say that this song is about, like, Maddie Healy or Joe Alwyn or whoever. I truly think this is a fuck you to people constantly babbling about her love life.
People are obsessed with her love life.
She's just like, but Daddy, I love him! You know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like she's just, like, it's just her being like, fuck you guys.
I consider it, like, the sequel to Love Story.
Yeah.
But, like, much more adult.
So, ironically enough, this echoes... It's funny, because you just said this, but it's viewed as the mature big sister of Love Story.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I was reading it, when you said that, I was like...
Immediately when I heard it, I was like, Love Story, sequel.
There's also, the opening line is, I just learned these people only raise you to cage you, which is an homage to our favorite song that we have. This is me trying. They told me all my cages were mental.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good catch. I didn't realize that.
I love the line, I'll tell you about my good name. It's mine alone to disgrace.
Mm-hmm.
In the song... Because, like, I don't know about you, but, like, I think at a certain point in time, for me personally, people caring versus people interfering became really evident. You know what I mean? Like, the care and, like, the butting in, I was like, I can take an opinion, but that's all it is. Yeah. It's your opinion, and I get to move on from it.
Yeah.
It's and if I fuck up, that's my bad.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to claim it or like. I don't know. I understood her there.
Yeah.
It's mine alone. You don't get to tell me about my good name. It's mine alone to disgrace.
Right. Yeah. It. I've said it before, but I don't know if I said it yet. But I said that, you know, this album is. While it's to people that she is no longer with, I think it's also slightly a little bit an album to her fans too. And, you know, they can be kind of obsessive, to the point where I think it's a little unhealthy.
Yeah. TJ and I talk about this a lot, like in our personal life, while we consider ourselves Swifties, we are not working hard to decipher her music because I don't think that's the point.
Only thing I'm doing is, try to decipher how it applies to my own life.
Yeah, this is... Music is meant to be a source of therapy.
For me, it is.
It's a release. It's like it brings, like, some songs make you cry and some make you laugh and some you're just like, holy shit, like, I relate to that. That I feel seen, yeah. You know? So, like, people being like, this is about Joe, this is about Travis, this is about Maddie Healy, this is about so-and-so. I'm just like, at the end of the day, does it really matter who it's about?
To me, no. I don't care who it's about.
To us, obviously not. But, like, right. But like to everyone else, like, I get why you're so interested. She's a very public figure, but...
But her private life is also none of your business.
And she gets to keep those secrets. She may write a song and we may get to, like, pretend to decipher that who it's about, but she gets to keep those secrets. That's her personal life. She gives enough of her life to us anyway. So, like, just have some chill.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's, but Daddy I Love Him is, I think, like a, just like a, hey, you guys care so much about my love life. Here's one for you.
My favorite line in the song is when she says, I'm having his baby. I'm not, but you should see your faces. I thought that was so funny. Just because, like, I heard it. And I'm like, what?
Okay. Go ahead. I think it was like, I want to say 12:10. And I, like, was sitting there and I was, like, kind of dozing off. And she says, I'm having his baby. And I was like, say what now? And then she's like, just kidding, but you should have seen your faces. I was like, bitch. I literally thought, I was like, we're in a fight now. I was like, you can't do that.
You have beef.
Literally, I'm like, we have open beef to settle because you literally scared the shit out of me. When I heard it, because it was obviously the night it came out. So, like, I was listening to this album before anyone was, like, really, like, tweeting about it yet.
Yeah.
Or, like, talking about it yet. So I was just like,
I know. I was like, well, I thought maybe she was pregnant at one time. And
there's the rumors that she was, but
again, those are her secrets. And if she was, that's her business, not ours.
I'm my monkey, not my circus.
Exactly. But kind of touching on that a little bit, how, like, when she said that, you're like, oh my God, like, what? There was a lyric in Fortnite where she says, she was a functioning alcoholic. Do you think that was maybe about her?
100%. Do you? I know that we've said that, and this is the podcast you'll never listen to. We said this, and she talks about in I Got Wasted, like, All My Potential, and This Is Me Trying. Mm-hmm. And she does in Champagne Problems. It's a literally alcohol titled. She mentions alcohol a lot in Folklore and Evermore, and in Midnight's a little bit. I really do think that she was self-medicating.
A lot of people do.
And how, like, I already take, like, sleep meds because I can't sleep. Could you imagine trying to sleep at night with knowing the whole world gives so much of a fuck about your love life?
Yeah. And Celine and I have talked about this too, where it has to feel very lonely. You know, while you have everything, you also, like, kind of don't have anything.
You have everything you ever wanted.
But what you really want.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
What song? Bedaddy. No, not anything for more. For Bedaddy, I Love Him.
This next track is track number 7, called Fresh Out the Slammer, written by Taylor Swift and Jack Antonoff. I nothing this song.
I love the title.
The title's great.
Because it's like, hey, I'm fresh out of my relationship. And, yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah, let's go do some. Yeah. Let's go do some stuff. Yeah. Rebound. Wow.
Let's go.
Yeah, I don't have much to say about it.
I honestly have nothing to say about it. It's fine.
It's fine. It's not one I...
It's not my favorite.
It's one I'll listen to if it's on, but I'll probably skip it.
Yeah, I was going to say, but this would probably be a skip for me. Okay. Number 8 is Florida, featuring Florence and the Machine, and it is written by Taylor Swift and Florence Welch.
I didn't know she wrote, or she helped write it.
So, again, I don't have a whole lot of thoughts about the song, because I really do think it's a goofy goober of a song. Florida! it really, I just really like that it's just out of nowhere.
It's a really random song. But that's kind of like this whole album is like, a really erratic mix of emotions.
Yeah, that's why I like this. It sounds like depression, this album.
Literally.
Where you're, like, happy one moment, and then the next you're just like...
Right. You know, I know a lot of people were upset because, you know, the album's not... It's not really boppy like her other albums.
I would have been upset if it was.
Yeah, but she's also not in that place anymore. You know?
If it would have been a poppy, like, 1989/Midnight/Red or Lover, I would have probably been like, you're not really being, like, honest.
But I think that's you and I, you know, in the podcast that will never be heard.
Yeah.
We talked about Lover and how, like, it just didn't feel authentic other than The Archer.
And The Man.
And The Man, because it was the most honest songs on the album.
Yeah.
Well, Soon You'll Get Better, too, is pretty sad, too.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's just... I think that's why it... Granted, the album still did very well. Why it didn't do as well is because I think people knew something was just not right. Something was off. And it didn't feel genuine, which is not really her. So it's surprising, because mm-hmm. she's always been a pretty genuine person. Mm-hmm. But... Yeah, the Florida is fine. It's just really random.
I don't dislike it.
I'm not a huge fan of Florence and the Machine.
Okay.
I think she's a good songwriter. It's just... Her voice is not my style.
Okay, that's fine.
But it's still... It's fun...
I do like Florence Welch.
Yeah.
So.
A lot of people do. So I don't... She's, yeah. They're a very popular band. But yeah, it's just kind of a goofy song.
It
feels out of place.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else?
No.
All right. Track number 9, Guilty as Sin, with a question mark, written by Taylor Swift and Jack Antonoff.
Guilty as Sin. So I was just listening to this one before, and I'm trying to think of, like the lyrics of it, maybe. Guilty as Sin. I don't know. You go first, and then I'll see if I can jump off of what you say.
Look at lyrics. I don't know. I think that this song is... I know we've been saying, like, this whole album's a fuck you. I think this song is about some, like... Okay, just to give you some background story, there is some lore that this album is about three men... Joe Alwyn, as we all know, and thought this whole album was going to be about. Surprise! It's also about Matty Healy. Another surprise, Travis Kelce got songs in his rookie year of dating her. Unheard of.
Yeah.
I
think she really likes him, though.
I would have been surprised if there wasn't a song about him. I think 100%. She would have stuck a song in.
I think people would have been kind of pissed if there wasn't.
I mean, like, this album was technically made in, like, 2023.
Yeah.
Before they were dating, but, knowing Taylor, I talk like as if we're like
besties.
Like knowing my Taylor, knowing Taylor, I think she likes him so much that she, if she hadn't written a song about him, it would have been very obviously like, oh. There's this part called "What if he not th- called?" There's this line in the song called "What if he writes mine on my upper thigh, only in my mind." And I think that's so relatable because how many times have you been so obsessed with somebody that you like think of all the things they might do in a cute way.
Yeah.
And that's what I think this song is about, is being obsessed with someone else while you're with someone else.
Which she does reference in Evermore, too.
Mm-hmm.
In the song Ivy, because she says...
Which people are now saying is about Matty Healy.
Yeah. She says, you know, hot damn, the palm of your hand fits in my freezing hand.
Mm-hmm.
Or the palm of your hand fits in my freezing hand.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of a song about, you know, maybe liking someone else when you're with someone else and kind of being confused about that. I've not had that happen, but I can imagine that it could be, you know, kind of confusing that you are with someone else, but you're also feeling something for someone else, and you should be feeling something for them, but you do.
And I think that's the gist of the song, honestly. I don't think there's like a lot of, I think a lot of her songs have hidden meaning. I really do think this one is, like, as the title speaks, she felt guilty.
Yeah.
We're feeling some type of way. Ready for the next one?
Yeah.
One of my favorite songs, and I think one of TJ's. Track number 10, Who's Afraid of Little Old Me, written by Taylor Swift.
Yes. Great song. A little slower. Mm-hmm. But to be fair, most of the album is a little slower. So I think if people are expecting like 1989 Red or any of her previous albums, this isn't it.
Yeah.
No. But yeah, what are your thoughts?
There are just so many good lines in this song. Like, there's just, like, and I'll just give you a few of them. But my bare hands pave their paths. Another one is, at all costs, keep your good name. You don't get to tell me you feel bad. Another one is, who's afraid of little old me? You should be. And I feel, in that moment, I've never related to T-Swift as much. Because I'm just like, sounds like something I would say.
It literally, as soon as I heard it, I was like, That song is so Celine encoded. Not even encoded. It's like they were in her brain and were like, this is Celine. Not in a bad way.
No.
But like, you know, I don't think people like understand that while you're very nice, mm-hmm. you've never been mean to me,
no.
but you.
I have a dark passenger.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Yeah.
But you, you can get angry if you have to.
Yeah.
You know?
And in the past, when I didn't have to.
Right. I was gonna say, I don't think you're that way too much anymore. But, you know, from what you've told me, I think back in the day, that...
Yeah.
I think that lyric would have related to old you more.
Oh, my gosh. In that moment, I was just like... Because, like, it's like, who's afraid of little old me? But then she follows up, you should be.
Yeah.
And I was like... That sounds like something I would say.
Well, for the longest time, she had the persona of being this sweet, innocent, you know, little girl.
Uh-huh.
And it has taken her a long time to kind of shake that image off and show that, yeah, she may be, you know, very sweet and nice, but, like, she's obviously popular for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously has some very thick skin to keep doing what she's doing.
Yeah. What is he barking at?
I don't know. It's me. I'm barking. I'm sorry. But yes, it is a great song. I like, my favorite line is when she says, don't worry, we took out all her teeth. That.
Don't worry, we took out all her teeth. Yeah. Who's afraid of little old me?
That song, or that lyric. It really kind of, like, it made me sad, because I feel like it's relating to her and how she has literally, like, at this point, there isn't much they could throw at her that she hasn't already been through.
I mean, if you just talk the song out loud, yeah. It's a very, like, without any of lyrical genius and, like, music behind it, it's a very sad poem. The who's who of who's that is poised for the attack, but my bare hands pave paths. You don't get to tell me about sad. If you wanted me dead, you should have just said, nothing makes me feel more alive. So I leap from the gallows and I levitate down your street, crash the party like a record scratch as I scream, who's afraid of little old me? You should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, the whole album is just, I don't want to say it's a sad album, but it really is kind of a sad album.
You know what I really related to in this album? And it's kind of, weirdly is a controversial line because people are like, she was raised in Pennsylvania. But like, that's not the point. Because I was raised in Savage.
Right.
But I relate to this. You wouldn't last in an hour in the asylum where they raised me. Because personally, having grown up in a very like, war zone style home with like grandparents that were very different. I really related to that because I was like, we really just don't know the path people are walking, huh?
No. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You don't know. And, you know, kind of going also back to her is, you know, she very much, for the most part, grew up in the public eye.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for, and I'm not famous, but I think for a lot of celebrities, it can feel like a cage. Mm-hmm. And it can feel very lonely. And yeah, it's like you said, it's lonely being at the top.
It is. It's quite up there.
And she's been at the top for a long time.
I agree.
Very rarely has wavered from the top.
Mm-mm. Consistent. She yes. is. I love that she's the one that wrote this song.
Mm-hmm. She wrote the whole thing? The
whole thing. Just cool. Her. It makes sense, though. This just sounds angry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else?
Mm-mm.
Question. Do you want to break this up and do the first part tonight and then give you more time to dive into the second part?
We can.
Yeah, why don't we do that? Give you more time.
Sure.
Track number 11, I Can Fix Him, parentheses, No Really, I Can. Written by Taylor Swift and Jack Antonoff.
I Can Fix Him, No Really, I Can. I know the song.
Okay, so...
Yeah, you go ahead.
this song is interesting because it sounds like she's talking about a man. I really do think it's about how much she tries to sway public opinion about the man. And why I think that is, there's a verse or lyric in one of the verses that say, they shake their head saying, God help her when I tell them he's my man. But your good Lord doesn't need to lift a finger. I can fix him. No, really, I can. And I think that's an interesting, chorus mm-hmm. in general. It's an interesting chorus because she's like, I can fix him. No, really, I can.
I can do it.
My
favorite lyric is when, not because the song ends, is how the song ends. When she says...
Whoa.
What?
Whoa. Maybe I can't.
Yeah, ooh, maybe I can't. You know, kind of admitting defeat that,
yeah.
You know, I've tried, but ooh, I don't know if I can do that. Mm-hmm. It's an okay song. I like the lyrics of it.
Mm-hmm.
The production of it is, it's fine. It's kind of boring.
I found that Jack Antonoff is really hit or miss for me. Production-wise. Taylor Swift is a great poet. Jack Antonoff, I think music production-wise, I either really love it
mm-hmm.
or I'm very much indifferent. I'm just like, okay.
Same with Bleachers.
Yeah, Bleachers is the same thing.
I either really like the songs or I really don't.
Yeah.
And not because of anything lyrically, just the production of it.
I will say so far, Aaron Dessner has kind of hit it out of the ballpark. Every single song he's been on has just been mm-hmm. chef's kiss. I don't have a whole lot to say about that song. It's...
I just like the way it ends. Yeah. She's like, maybe I can't.
Well, I can't.
Yeah.
Okay. Track number 12. L-O-M-L. Love of My Life or Loss of My Life. Written by Taylor Swift and Aaron Dessner.
That's so funny. All the Aaron Dessner ones, like you said.
I know.
The ones we have gravitated more toward. Nothing against Jack, because he's obviously a very gifted...
He's great.
Musician, but...
He's great. I just... It just happens to be that I've gravitated towards Aaron Dessner's style.
Very sad song.
Yeah. Very sad song.
I mean lyrically, production-wise, it's pretty much just her and a piano. And,
yeah.
Talking about... I think some feelings of regret.
I think that the greatest part of this song is the push and pull of whoever she's writing about being a good guy than being a bad guy. And how you never quite really know where you stand, you know?
Is this the song where she mentions something about rings and cradles and was that a different song?
I think that's a different song.
Okay.
This one starts off with Who's Gonna Stop Us From Waltzing Back Into Rekindled Flames. If we know the steps anyway, we embroidered the memories of the time I was away stitching. We were just kids, babe, and I said, I don't mind, it just takes time. Sorry, I'm trying, literally reading all the lyrics. That's the first verse. That's fine. Yeah. No, this one does not. But there is a push and pull line that I really like got a glimpse of when I was listening to it. It's in your suit and tie, in the nick of time, you're a low down boy, you stand up guy. Which is interesting. It's like two different people. It's like she knew two different people, you know? Mm-hmm. Very sad song.
It starts with, you know, she's talking about the love of her life. And then it ends with that it's no longer the love of her life, it's the loss of her life. Which is very heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. But the whole album is very, you know, it's heartbreak.
People keep saying that this is about Maddie Healy. I don't really care who it's about because it's a sad fucking song. Personally, I think this is about Joe Alwyn. I think the amount of time, like she talks about like the amount of time spent and like just like memories and stuff like that. And I think Maddie Healy might have been like a big part, a small part of her life, but like a short part of her life, but a big part. But I think that this is about Joe Alwyn because I think when she says you're the loss of my life, I think she means like I thought we were going to be together forever.
Well, I mean, you spend 6 years with someone that, you know, mm-hmm. it's a long time, you know, especially as a woman.
I agree.
That's a long time to spend with someone that you think you're going to spend the rest of your life with.
Yeah.
And possibly start a family with. And, you know, that person doesn't want the same thing you wanted.
I think that a lot of people think that So Long London is like the most devastating Joe Alwyn song. I think that Loss of My Life is
100%
the most devastating song.
100%. I think it's the saddest song on the album.
Yeah.
I still don't think it's the saddest song she's ever written.
My views on the saddest song she's ever written has changed with this album, but yeah.
Have we gotten to that song?
Not yet.
Okay.
That'll be the part two.
Because I think Ronan is still like...
Oh, Ronan is like the saddest song ever. Yeah. I guess I mean it from like a love.
Like a personal love standpoint? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Ronan will, I think, forever be the saddest song she ever wrote because it's biographical.
Yeah.
And it's just incredibly just...
Yeah.
Like, I can't even talk about it without, like, getting emotional because
when I read about it, I was like, that makes the song, like, 10 times better, but also, like, 20 times sadder.
Yeah, you listen to it and you're like, I want to die.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But anyways, go ahead.
Track, I don't know if you knew this, because I don't know if I mentioned it. Track number 13 is I Can Do It With a Broken Heart.
Oh, it's a great song.
Taylor Swift and Jack Antonoff.
Okay.
Again, Jack Antonoff is very hit or miss.
Mm-hmm.
He is good at a bop. I think it's the slower ones that he's not as good with. He's good with a bop. This song is arguably one of the most performative sad songs I've ever heard.
I agree.
Because it's very catchy and it's super easy to listen to. But lyrically, if you're just reading the lyrics, like, I'll read the lyrics for you. If I was just reading the lyrics to you, you would...
Yeah, I wouldn't know it's a pop song.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't, I can read your mind. She's having the time of her life. There in the in her glittering prime, the light refract sequin stars. Okay, I can't read. Because I'm a real tough kid. I can handle my shit. They said, baby, gotta fake it till you make it. And I did. Lights, camera, bitch, smile. Even when you want to die. He said he'd love me all his life, but that life was too short. Breaking down, I hit the floor. All the pieces of me shattered as the crowd was chanting, more. I was grinning like I'm winning. I was hitting my marks because I can do it with a broken heart.
Like, obviously, I think she's talking about the Eras Tour.
Of course.
I mean, like...
The sound is from her tour.
Yeah, oh, that's
great. You
can
hear the cues from her tour. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean... That wasn't me being rude to you. No. I was just saying, like, that's, like, it's wow.
I forgot about that. You told me that. Lights, camera, bitch, smile. My favorite.
I'm getting
line
that
from the
tattooed
song.
On me.
That's a great. I'm gonna update my MySpace status to that.
Lights, camera, bitch, smile. I thought this was an homage to You're on Your Own, Kid.
Yeah, I agree. You're on your own, kid. You always have been.
Yeah. Because you're real, because I'm a real tough kid. I can handle my shit. They said, baby, gotta fake it till you make it, and I did. I don't know. This song is interesting because I think people are like, yeah, like they're, it's playing in bars and stuff like that, but like, wow.
I think you and I talked about it again earlier, and again, how while this song or this album is a, you know, an album to her past loves and people in her life, you know, I think this song is, you know, also geared more toward her fan base. Mm-hmm. And how, while I think she appreciates her fan base, because you're nothing without your fans, I think she also, I think she is also acknowledging the fact that they don't understand how stressful it is for her mm-hmm. to have to constantly be on mm-hmm. and have to constantly give them not necessarily what they want, but what they expect. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, shit, I'm 35 years old and she's a year younger than me and I'm tired, man. Can't imagine how she's tired. And I don't even, like, my job is, it's hard, but it's not, like, that hard.
No.
Not appeasing the whole world.
No, she's doing it different, man.
Yeah. It's just, what was the one, other than Lights, Camera, Bitch, Smile? What was the other part that was in the
chorus? Oh,
no, when she, maybe it's in the chorus, when she says, I'm so depressed, I act like it's my birthday every day.
I'm so obsessed with him, but he avoids me like the plague.
When she
cry a lot, but I'm so productive. It's an art.
Yeah. When she said that line, though, about how she's so depressed, she acts like it's her birthday. You know, you put on your fake smile and do what you can to get through the day. You know, I think that's what she does. Is
I can do it with a broken heart.
Right.
It's literally in the title track.
Yeah, she is doing the best she can and what she knows how to do best and is going to do it with a broken heart.
Yeah.
Great song, though.
Very great song. Another one of my favorites.
It's a bop. even though it's not really.
Surprisingly.
And even how the song ends, where she's like, you know, I can't quite understand it, but she says something about being miserable.
She says, because I'm miserable and no one even knows.
Right,
I try to come for my job.
I love the way she says it, though.
That's
like,
her real, actual, like, recording.
I believe it.
Yeah. Like, they added it.
Yeah. I take that as, like, someone who's, like, when someone asks you, how are you doing? It's great.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of, like,
I'm miserable and no one even knows.
Like, kind of facetious.
Yeah.
And you're, like, oh, it's great. Like, you wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
It's great. You know, so it's very much a song that is masked with, you know, being a bop, but it's actually kind of a sad song.
Yep. And it's track number 13.
Her favorite number.
Yep. Track number 14, The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived by Taylor Swift and Aaron Dessner.
Oof. I mean, even the title alone.
I don't know who this is about, and everyone is theorizing of who's who and what's what, but I don't give a fuck who it's about. If it's about, like, even if there was the slightest odds that it was about me, I would roll into a ball and roll down a hill off the cliff.
Into the ocean.
Like.
With weights on my legs.
Yeah, like, bury me.
Sink to the bottom.
This is the mafia-style death that I'm doing to myself.
Yeah, literally.
Because that fucking song, I'd be, whoever it's about, fuck them. But also, that sucks.
It could be about Joe. It could be about Matt. It could be about no one. It could be about Kanye. It could,
I mean, it's talking about a lover. Probably not Kanye.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
I think it's probably, I don't think she actually bad talks Joe that much.
No.
I think it's probably, in my opinion, it's probably about Matty Healy, because I think he's, like, a worm of a human.
He looks like a worm of a human.
He literally has no chin.
Just kidding. I mean, I'm not, but...
anybody with a weak chin, you're not for me.
No.
Yeah. Whoever the song's about, that fucking sucks, because...
I remember I right after it came out, I sent Selena a message. I go, the smallest man who ever lived. And then I sent her a gif of David doing the yikes face. It says it right in the title.
She also, like, in it says your Jehovah's Witness suit, and Maddie Healy always wears those fucking ugly black suits.
That's true.
That look like Jehovah's Witness suits, and that gives it away. That's why I think it's about him. Yeah. Because I'm like, that literally is what he dresses like.
Give a message to the smallest man who ever lived.
God. Yeah. Could somebody please give a message to the smallest man who ever lived? Yeah.
Yeah. I really don't have much else to say about it other than
We only have two more songs.
We got 5 minutes left? Four minutes.
Yeah.
I think we can do it.
All right. Track number 15, The Alchemy, written by Taylor Swift and Jack Antonoff. Obviously, it's about Travis Kelce.
I guess I don't really know this. I've heard it, but I don't know. I guess I'm trying to think of, like, lyrically what it's about.
The Alchemy by Taylor Swift. Sorry, I was just looking up the lyrics. So when I touch down, call the amateurs and cut them from the team, ditch the clowns, get the crown, baby, I'm the one to beat. Because a sign on your heart said it's still reserved for me. Honestly, who are we to fight the alchemy?
Okay, yeah, that sounds familiar then.
The reason I think it's about him is she says, would you, I think in, is it this song that she, no, it's a different song she says that in. I think it's like the touchdown.
Yeah.
You know.
Football references.
Yeah. And like, the greatest in the league wears the trophy. He just comes running over to me. Like the Super Bowl, when he came running over to her. Yeah.
So if we have to, we can.
I don't have a lot to say about that, other than it's about Travis and it's a love song. I know people want to hear more about it, but, like, there's just not, like, a lot to break down. It's obviously her being, like, love him.
Yeah, and so. Alchemy is, like, a precursor to chemistry.
Yeah.
Magic.
Yeah,
she's turning... what they thought it was.
She's turning that paper string into a gold string.
No longer an invisible string.
Invisible string to a gold string, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Give enough time. Track number 16, Clara Bow, written by Taylor Swift and Aaron Dessner. I don't have a lot, but I do have some information.
Yeah.
This song is very obviously about the pressures of society, and you look like Clara Bow, you look like Stevie Nicks, you look like Taylor Swift, and how you're constantly compared to people in the industry. And I think it's super interesting because she's referenced Stevie Nicks before.
Mm-hmm. Obviously an idol.
Yeah.
I think for a lot of young women, too.
Yeah. And similar attributes. Both of them were songwriters. Both of them were blonde and beautiful and, like, in their prime. I really think it's interesting that she name drops herself. You look like Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that she considers herself to be amongst the greats now.
I think it would be crazy if she didn't.
I don't think she did for a long time.
I don't think so either. I don't think she felt successful.
No.
I mean, obviously she is, but I don't, you know, I think that's a feeling that a lot of people struggle with, is not feeling like you're doing enough or feeling like you're successful enough. And I think now she is realizing that she is,
mm-hmm.
And that she is at that level where, you know, she's a rock star.
She is.
You know?
She is.
I don't really know much about Clara Bow, other...
She was Charlie Chaplin's era silent film actress.
Was she with him? Oh, I didn't know that. I know she was, like, one of the original It Girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like how she's, like, kind of referencing iconic women throughout the decades.
Yeah. She was, like, the sex symbol of the Roaring Twenties.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm.
It is a good song, though. It's a slower song. But it is a good song. And I like how the song kind of ends,
mm-hmm.
and kind of leaves it on a cliffhanger,
mm-hmm.
to the next era, I guess.
I agree.
Where she says something about how the future is dazzling.
Yeah.
You know? We are almost out of time. So I'm going to pause here, and we'll just add another one here in just a second. Okay? Okay. Okay, sorry about that. We were out of time. We only get an hour, and we have sometimes have to do part two. But yeah, to end with Clarabelle, very interesting how she acknowledges previous It Girls and how she now compares herself to actually being one.
Yeah.
What I was going to say before we ended was she ends the song saying something along the lines of the future looks dazzling. Mm-hmm. And if anyone at the time of this podcast is a fan of Deadpool, there's a rumor that she's going to be in Deadpool 3 or Deadpool Wolverine as the X-Men character Dazzler. And people think that this is an Easter egg for her character in Deadpool. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. I think it's just creative songwriting on her part. I don't know if it actually is an Easter egg. If it is, it's very cool. But
I don't think so. I mean, I hope I'm wrong.
Right.
It'd be great if I'm wrong, because her being Dazzler is a move.
She should be.
She should be.
Because Dazzler's supposed to be, like, the most popular pop star. Because she's supposed to have, like, a perfect voice.
Yeah.
And she's supposed to be the most popular pop star in the X-Men universe. Who better than the most popular pop star?
They also look alike.
Right. They got blonde hair, blue eyes. Yeah. So it'd be pretty cool. I think she's in the movie. Because even the promotional material for it has implied.
Reynolds would be stupid to not use his friendship with Taylor Swift in her prime to get her in this movie.
Well, and I was going to say, they're best friends.
Literally. Like his daughter went to the show and walked. It was in VIP and walked out with Auntie Taylor.
Can you imagine?
If my aunt was Taylor Swift, I wouldn't know how to act.
You wouldn't know any different, though.
No, you wouldn't, but like, I would literally be a different person.
Yeah.
I would literally be like, that's my aunt.
Right. Because, yeah, to you, you'd be like, oh, that's my aunt.
That's
you
my
know?
Taylor.
Yeah. You know, you wouldn't think, like, my aunt, I wouldn't think of her as anything like, I mean, she's not famous, but, like, I wouldn't think of her as, like,
yeah.
anything different. She's just my aunt,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But as I was saying, I do like that this song kind of leaves the album on a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And kind of leaves it open for the next era.
Yeah.
Which I guess we got much sooner than we thought. So, I don't know. It's kind of weird because you have the Tortured Poets Department and then the anthology, which I think of as the anthology as like a side B.
Yeah.
And like extra songs that didn't quite make the cut. Kind of like what she did with Midnights.
Yeah.
And while it's not necessarily a second album, it's not its own album, but just a continuation of this album.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Think it's still part of the Tortured Poets Department.
Right.
It's like the deep cuts.
Yeah. It's the songs that weren't, I don't want to say not as good, because they are great songs from what I've heard. But just, is this her 12th album? 11th? 11th.
11th. I wonder what she's going to do when she gets to her 13th.
That's what I was wondering. So I'm like, I don't consider the anthology to be her 12th album.
No, she
just
doesn't
to be a
either.
Continuation.
She doesn't either. She considers it her 11th.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, the 16 songs, I think it is.
Yep. 31 songs total.
The first 16, it's a great album.
Yeah.
It's a very sad album.
Mm-hmm.
I do think at one point she will go back to that happy, poppy music.
I think she's happy right now, and I think we're gonna get a Taylor in Love album.
Yes.
Like a true, not a denial album like Lover, and not like an angry album like Rep. I think we'll get a poppy girl in love starting a family album.
I do too. I think she'll get back to that spot one day. It's just right now, this moment is from the last year or years, year
yeah,
and a half or so.
This is the beginning of the tour.
Right. So these feelings are not, some of them may be current, I don't know.
No, I think she's super happy right now.
But I do think she'll at some point get back to those fun poppy songs. I just think, you know, right now she's just going through that moment in your 30s where you just kind of go, shit, like, I'm not 20 anymore. I am in my 30s and shit, like, there's a lot of things I still haven't done yet that I want to do. Granted, I've still done a lot of great things. There's more I want to do.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
But there's something else I was going to say. I can't remember what. I don't know. I'll think of it. Overall, what were your top takeaways from this album?
Incredibly sad. But ironically, the saddest songs were really catchy.
I agree. What were your favorite songs?
I Can Do It With a Broken Heart, Clara Bow, Smallest Man Who Ever Lived.
Mm-hmm. All great ones. I did enjoy Fortnite. I do like that song. Is it, I think, single worthy? I don't know. It's doing well. Mm-hmm. But to me, I would have chosen the Tortured Poets Department as the lead single. Because it's got a great beat.
I would have chosen I Can Do It With a Broken Heart
as the lead single. Would have been a great song, too. Yeah. I Can Do It With a Broken Heart, Tortured Poets Department, Fortnite. Yep. There's a couple others, but I can't think of them off the top of my head. But no, it's a great album. We'll talk about the anthology, the second part to this album, the bonus tracks, I guess. We'll talk about that next time. I haven't quite listened to all of it yet. I'm still processing the Tortured Poets Department album. And it's, I don't know. I'm one of those people, I really like deep, meaningful songs. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. I love a bop. You know,
everyone does.
Yeah, I love a good pop song. But,
I was just gonna say, you also need a beat to process the deep, meaningful songs.
Yeah, but you know, Folklore, Evermore, Midnights. You know, a lot of people, this album still did well. A lot of people didn't like that she changed her sound. I personally did. I think it made her a better songwriter.
I think she found her lane.
Yeah, I think she found her lane, and I think it showed that she can do more than just a pop song.
Yeah.
And she can write a story.
She can do it with a broken heart.
She can do it with a broken heart. She's a great storyteller. Huh? Anything else?
Nada.
Okay. We'll pause here, and we will put out the anthology either next week or in a couple weeks. All right.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Well, if that's all we got, TJ and Celine. Out! All right.
I can do it with a broken heart. Lights, camera, bitch, smile. Even though I want to die.
Yeah. What she said, ditto.
Bye.
Bye.